Yeah, I'd like a hot dog all the way, please.
Coming up. Here you go.
Thank you. Ew. What is this?
That's a corn-based hot dog-flavored tube-shaped thing. It's almost good. That'll be $4.50.
You know what? No thanks.
If almost good enough isn't good enough for you, why would it be good enough for your pet? Add Kennel Kelp to your furry friend's diet. Sprinkled on your pet's food, Kennel Kelp helps with arthritis pain and stiff joints. It can also reduce shedding, fill in missing areas, and improve their looks. Healthy pets show even more energy and have better attitudes. See results in 4 to 8 weeks. The good news is, Kennel Kelp isn't just for pets. It's good for you, too. Sprinkle it on your cereal, or use it instead of table salt when seasoning your food. Kennel Kelp is the holistic care solution for pets and their people. Safe for dogs, cats, birds, cows, chickens, reptiles, almost anything that walks, flies, or slithers. It's a holistic health solution for humans, too. To learn about their many products, visit KennelKelp.com. Get Kennel Kelp for a happier, healthier life.
Hey everybody, it's Grandpa Bill, and I want to remind you that my show is daily, each and every day, 7 days a week. We offer 3 audio versions. I'd like to talk about one of them quickly here, entitled Workouts for Geriatrics, aka Silver Streakers, now in our 6th year of creating blogs, vlogs, nutritional updates, health information, and videos regarding physical health and well-being for predominantly we silver streakers, but good for all kids from 1 to 92. And it debunks the myth that exercise is limited by age and shows the importance of staying active throughout life. We discuss fitness routines for all abilities and ages, proving that exercise is truly for everyone, food for the mind, the body, and the soul. Make sure you join us each and every day, Monday through Sunday, right here on all airwaves that you would hear any audio show. Thank you for your continued support and paying it forward. Now let's get back to today's show. Okay, deep calming breath. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for joining us. Let's segue in for, 10, 15 minutes in this portion of our workouts for geriatrics today. And welcome once again. This is a continuation of our daily show, 6 years running, in the segment isolated to workouts for geriatrics, aka Silver Streakers, good for all kids from 1 to 92. Encompassing everything about health and wellness, actual physical workouts, resistance bands, exercise bands, free weights. We talk nutrition, diet, healthy eating, and actual health care in the way of insurance coverage. All topics about health and wellness. Always good for all kids from 1 to 92. My audience being predominantly we silver streakers, although I've been blessed to have all generational participation as listeners on my show and also as guest hosts, covering the many topics that we cover here daily via my 3 audio offerings in my YouTube video each and every day. Grandpa Bill Holt at 8792. Like us, share us, give us that thumbs up, subscribe. We grow 1-star seed at a time. So continuing here today, getting ready to move our body at any age is key. The actual physical movement within the exercises for sure. A couple of probing questions to revisit them here. Love to have your interaction at our voicemail message boards. What are your biggest challenges to staying active? And do you have any favorite exercises or routines that keep you feeling young? Let's share the wealth within the community. So I also wanted to take a deeper look here today to coincide with my earlier aforementioned YouTube offering. I'm going to take a look at almshouses, the actual, infancy of nursing homes, senior healthcare, if you will. A look back at senior healthcare and exercises for every age. Did you ever wonder how we got here? As we delve into the history and evolution of senior healthcare, that's what I'm trying to isolate here today. How caring for adults. We'll get into revisiting different cultures' versions over the histories of senior healthcare. This is a little bit more broad stroke in this particular episode. It's obviously changed throughout time, from almshouses to modern fitness routines that we encompass in 2024. So we'll share some simple exercises via some upcoming videos that I'm working on. I'm a little bit tardy on my release of those. Those are upcoming. That you can do at any age to stay active and healthy. We'll learn more with referencing World Wide Web references. References via infographics, books, videos, articles. So, early care of families and communities. The rise of almshouses. Eventually, in upcoming shows, we'll get to Social Security and the decline of almshouses over the history of them. Medicare, Medicaid, leading to nursing homes, the emergence of assisted living facilities a little bit down the road in some upcoming episodes, and the shifts towards active aging and silver streakers, emphasizing the positive aspects of staying active throughout life, regardless of age. So we're encouraging listeners and viewers of my videos and listeners of the audios at my shows to learn more by checking out the resources listed in the description of today's show and over at my video at YouTube as well. I try to correlate the videos with the audios with the videos, and of course on the World Wide Web, you may see one previous to the others, and as I have in-studio guests with expertise in all of these subjects that we cover, I always do a prelude show about upcoming guests and those topics as well. So this is why we're here 7 days a week now in our sixth year, over three different audio versions, and being blessed to be on all the platforms where you hear any podcast show. Early care by families and communities, the rise of almshouses, Social Security, and the decline of almshouses formulate a couple of probing questions for listener participation. Family care to silver streakers, a deep dive into the senior health care. We will be embarking on a three-part series going through the lineage of early care by families and communities and the rise of almshouses, the foundations of senior care, early care by families and communities, discussing the traditional models of families and communities caring for their elderly. A couple more questions. I'm just firing these off the cuff. Did your family have any traditions or practices for caring for older relatives? What were they? Share your stories. VA Sales Kennel Cup Holistic Healing Hour voicemail message board. The rise of almshouses. We will be exploring the emergence of almshouses as a response to societal change. What are your thoughts on the concept of almshouses? What's your degree of familiarity or lack thereof in them? Leave a voicemail. Let's discuss it. Parts 2 and 3, when we get that far, we'll explore the impact of Social Security, as I said earlier, the rise of nursing homes, and the exciting shift towards active aging and the Silver Streakers movement. We're always asking you to leave your voicemail messages and share your fodder and enjoy the history and visitations with us. From family care to almshouses, a look back at senior support. The rise of almshouses, briefly discussing the traditional model of family care and how it may have become strained due to industrialization and urbanization, increased life expectancy over the generations of time, changes in family structures, introducing almshouses as a response to these challenges, explaining their purpose, providing shelter, food, and basics, and basic care for the poor and the elderly, discussing the varying conditions within those almshouses. Some were quite harsh, others more communal, highlighting the role of almshouses in early social welfare systems. Did your community have almshouses? If so, what stories have you heard about them? Share your experiences on the BA Sales Kennel Club Holistic Healing Hour voicemail message board. Consider exchanging this information about the rise of almshouses. If you have any historical references, I'm going to find more online, reference them for you, or engravings of almshouses specifically, or if you have expertise within any of these subject matters, reach out. If you have an interest in coming on the show, if you've authored a book, deal with many agencies encompassing many of these categories, entrepreneurs, and folks that have these types of historical categorizations and expertise, love to deepen and broaden our scope. So before almshouses, caring for elderly and elders primarily fell on the families directly in those communities over the history of mankind. But times were changing. On the onset of the Industrial Revolution, as it drew near in the history, kind of synopsizing it here a little bit, it drew people to the cities, breaking down traditional family structures. And the life expectancy was also slowly increasing over those generational periods of time, leaving more people needing support in their later years. So there's always been a need for a solution. The societal shift created a need for a new system to care for the elderly, the poor, who could no longer rely solely on their family. As populations started to expand, of course, to coincide with the history of mankind on the planet, enter the almshouse. What were almshouses? They were essentially charitable institutions that provided basic necessities like shelter, food, and sometimes clothing to the poor and the elderly. They were often funded by religious organizations or wealthy benefactors, or in some instances a combination of the two, which I'd also love to delve into with a little bit more research of my own, yours, mine, and ours, and potential guests with expertise within the subject matter. Conditions did vary widely within the almshouses. Pardon me, can I take a little sip of some tea here? Continuing, some were harsh and overcrowded. The almshouses themselves, with residents facing strict rules and limited resources. Others were a little bit more communal, offering a sense of fellowship and basic comfort. The role of almshouses in early social welfare. Despite their limitations, almshouses were a significant step towards organized social welfare. They provided a safety net for those who couldn't care for themselves and helped to alleviate some of the burden on those families struggling with poverty. And, you know, everybody ages, and the families all aging themselves within. Mama Bear, Papa Bear, if you will, all the way down through Uncle Charlie, the dynamics and demographics. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Did your community have almshouses or history thereof? Share those stories. What have you heard about it? Perhaps it was a place of hardship, Maybe it offered a sense of community in yours or your family tree, your history, your knowledge of all of the above. Share your experiences with us at the voicemail message board. Let's take another deep calming breath. When we come back, we'll go for about another 10 minutes in this episode and close it out for today on Food for the Mind, the Body, and the Soul Workouts for Geriatrics, aka Silver Streaker. Good for all kids from 1 to 92. Everything about health and wellness. We'll be right back with the final segment. Stay with us. Sales Kennel Club Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Welcome one and all, some of you by our invitation where applicable, my two church mice, Peter and Paul, combined with the ubiquitous audience, your efforts to pay it forward. We are growing exponentially with your help in doing so. Thank you for doing that. Continue doing so. We do 3 audio versions daily, my 6th year running doing that. My YouTube offerings, Bill Holt at BillHolt8792. Give us a thumbs up, like us, share us, subscribe where you're comfortable in doing so. And we always do interactive polls daily. Please do interact and leave messages at the voicemail message board at the BH Sales Kennel Club Holistic Healing Hour. Always food for the mind, the body, and the soul. One of my factions today via this. Okay, deep calming breath. Thanks for being here today and every day. Continue to do so. And this will be the segue out for our portion of today's workouts for geriatrics. And I thought what I would do, as I often do, I've explained before, the 10-second breaks to yourself are, believe me, a lot longer in reality for a number of reasons that I've talked about before. One of which is I often do my research as I'm actually taping these shows, because I tape so many of them by choice in retirement. So to facilitate my own schedule during the last 10-second break to yourself, I went back and quickly surfed the World Wide Web and thought I would bring it back home, literally and figuratively, here in the greater Portland, Maine area, a little bit of history. Quickly segueing out here today about almshouses. So, directly from the World Wide Web, I'm starting out here looking at Portland, Maine almshouses history as a general entry into the internet search engines. And here's what I'm going to start to read verbatim, and I'll incorporate this into one of my communal shows and reference a book I've referenced many times, Portland Architecture, with great rich history of the architectural buildings that we've been blessed with here in Greater Portland as well. For those of you familiar, case in point, Barron Center here in Portland, Maine, dating back to the early 1800s. When the city of Portland actually established an almshouse on Portland Street here in Portland, Maine. Its purpose was for the care of the city's poor, their elderly, and the mentally disabled. By the year 1870, the almshouse was replaced with the Greeley Hospital, for some local historians, local referencing. Barron Center, the history of Portland, Maine's official website, is a good place to get some pictorial referencing of the Barron Center for a reference here. What is the oldest actual house in Portland, Maine? The Wadsworth Longfellow House, yep, home of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. We'll talk more about that in the actual buildings of Portland Arms Poorhouse, late 1800s, Looking East. That's a Facebook referencing, so designated. If you care to negotiate that as a point of reference when you get there to do so. There's some good reference about almshouses there. Here, almshouses provide a group lodging and food for the disadvantaged members of the community, including those experiencing poverty, sickness, or old age. Those fit enough for physical activity, in most instances, were expected to participate in chores and work to earn their keep, so to speak. An almshouse is a charitable housing provided to people in a particular community, especially during the Middle Ages. Wikipedia, a source of reference on the World Wide Web. Do almshouses still exist? They are managed and run by almshouse charities made up of local volunteers. Today, some 36,000 people are living full and independent lives in actual designated still almshouses, finding friendships, well-being, safety, and security inside their walls and their respective communities. Almshouses associations on the World Wide Web, y'all can navigate your own sources of. But who can live in almshouses is pretty clearly defined on the World Wide Web. They're run by independent local charities. They provide self-contained, low-cost housing, mostly to older people who have a low income. They often cater to specific groups of people. For example, people who have worked in a certain trade or who have lived in a certain area unique to your communities worldwide, Main Street Portland, Main Street USA, Main Street around the world. What is, in and of itself, almshouse meaning? Again, it's a unit of residential accommodation, usually a house or flat, which belongs to a charity and is provided exclusively to meet the charity's purpose to, for some many examples, relief, financial need, or infirmity, and it's occupied or is available for occupation under a license by a qualified beneficiary. When did almshouses basically end? As we already said, there's some that are still designated as such, but they radically declined in number here in the States, United States, during the mid-20th century, being replaced by other forms of the onset of social services. And they have a name, all but disappeared for the most part. That's from an article dated March 14th, 2024, right on the World Wide Web amongst many. What are almshouses in medieval England? A quick reference here. The history of almshouses stretched back to medieval times when religious orders cared for the poor, originally called hospitals or BEDE houses, bidet houses, in the sense of hospitality and shelter. The oldest almshouse foundation still in existence is thought to be the Hospital of St. Oswald in Worcester, founded circa 990. There's many references about Scotland, where workhouses, actually also known as almshouses. In some instances, workhouses were also known as almshouses. That statement is false. While both workhouses and almshouses were institutions that provided housing for the poor, they were not the same thing. So I'm going to leave it at that today. Ask for your continuing interaction on the F4 outline questions for today. A changing society for almshouses, caring for elders primarily fell on the families and communities in, you know, the Industrial Revolution that we've referenced and the onset of social welfare, nursing homes and the like. So stay with us in upcoming shows. Continue to pay it forward. Everybody at this point in time, those folks that are perplexed, up against it, wondering what it's all about, we do it communally, arm in arm, calmly, with repose. We're blessed to be members of many large intuitive groups, yours, mine, and ours. We continue to support all wild animals being driven out of their natural environments, feral and rescue pets, domesticated pets, the challenges for good foods, medicines, their people, plants on this planet, hopefully continue to be perceived as a harbinger of good information, myself serving as the porcelain junction box to be blessed to have global exposure with this show and these shows, plural. That's due to yourselves continuing to pay it forward, interacting, listening in, yours, mine, and ours, my guests, your guests, their social media, our groups, many intuitive groups that you will be hearing about in upcoming episodes and guests. I've been blessed that I've been able to literally interview butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, doctors, lawyers, psychotherapists, analysts, medical doctors, entrepreneurs, mediators, meditators. We've covered broad, expansive categories of subjects each and every day, food for the mind, the body, and the soul. Continue to pay it forward. We do grow exponentially with your help. Like us, share us one more time. Grandpa Bill at 8792 on YouTube version of, looking to continue to grow one star seed at a time, networking together, intertwining in the patchwork quilt that holistic apothecary medicine is, multi-piece jigsaw puzzle working in synchronicity and synergistically together, many modalities. We'll say bye-bye for now. Make it a safe and productive day. We'll see you again tomorrow. Peace, everybody.